Welcome to Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church, located in Green Valley and serving all of Southern Arizona. Join us each week as we help you into a deeper, sanctified walk of grace with Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of the Bible as the infallible, inspired Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor Steve with today's message on learning to live for God.
Why any believer who trusts in Christ need be tormented about anything. God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Real quick, I'm just going to tell you, Paul's in prison. The Philippians used to send him money. Back in those days, there was no such thing as bribery. You literally paid the prison guards to take care of you. You gave the guards money to get you little extras, you know, cable TV and, you know, Wendy's, whatever. But you did. And if you didn't have anything to give, you got treated like crap. So Paul was a prisoner, but he was the loosest of prisoners. And so they were trying to send him money, and they weren't able to. There's more lessons we can learn from that, but I want to move on. Not that I speak in respect of want, 11th verse. Now, this guy's in jail at this time. He says, I have learned whatsoever state I am. And he's not talking about Nebraska or Oregon or Washington State. He's talking about state of mind, state of physical presence. I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith, right there, to be content. That's a huge verse. You want to sear that one in your brain. Because when you're not content, it's simply because you're not taking your cares and your wants and your needs to him. You have not, because you ask not. He says in the 12th verse, I know how to be abased. I know how to be put down. I know how to be kept low. And he says, I also know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the most famous verse, well, one of the most famous verses in the entirety of the old Bible, I can do all things as long as I keep the command. I can do all things as long as I obey the law. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. It is Christ who strengthens you. It is not Dr. Phil's latest book. It is not keeping the law. It is not obeying the commandments. It is not looking for signs and wonders. It's Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Just go to your left. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start at the third verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, how many? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us, he chose you, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Left to our own thinking, left to our own logic, none of us, if you're truthful, should see yourself, what's the word he used here? Holy and without blame. If you carry around a ledger and you owe a significant amount of money, in other words, that ledger is full of red ink. This is the ledger. Can you see that? It's the ledger book of your sins. You know how I know that? Because it says it right there. There's a ledger. Okay, all right, good. So when you have a debt that you owe, you carry this debt around in a ledger. You had a sin debt that you carried around, whether you knew it or not. You had a sin debt that you carried around until you came to Jesus, and Jesus made that ledger clean. He paid the debt entirely in full. Your debt as a debtor, as a sinner, was paid in full by what Jesus did for you on that cross. Not by keeping the law, not by keeping the commandments, although your relationship, and we'll get to that in just a minute, your relationship with Christ will cause you to keep the commandments and will allow you to keep the law. Your debt was wiped clean. You have no debt. And when you learn to own your righteousness in Christ, when you learn to understand that every time you look at that ledger, there's nothing there. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. In Isaiah, the Bible says, come and let us reason together. Though they be like crimson, they shall be like snow. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's it. Your sins were as far as the east is from the west. The problem is that Satan is constantly trying to remind us, and he's the enemy of your soul. He's trying to get you to put black marks back on this ledger, but this ledger in God's eyes is clean. The slate has been wiped clean. Now, you say the logical question is, well, what happens if I sin? All right, if you sin, look at the ledger, because what he did for you was a finished work. Your sins that you're going to commit in the future, or that you might commit this afternoon, or that you committed yesterday, your sins were forgiven. The ledger is clean. What Jesus did for you on that cross is a finished work. There is no mark, there is no black spot. Now you say, well, what happens if I sin? Most of us were taught, wrongly, but most of us were taught that black stain remains on the ledger until you confess it. That's what we were taught. It's not Bible. What gets the stain off the ledger? What Jesus did for you on the cross, or your confession of that sin? This is why I told you last week, when you confess the sin, you're not telling God anything he don't already know. You're simply agreeing with him that it was wrong. Homologeo in the Greek, confess. It simply means to agree. So when I sin, I simply need to look at the ledger and thank him for the fact. Listen to me, the fact that you are the righteousness of Christ. Now, this is a scary teaching for folks that have been taught law. This is a scary teaching for folks that are born again and have been taught to obey the law or the commandments, or folks that have been taught a works mentality. But the works is not going to get the ledger clean. The only thing that cleans the ledger is the fact that Jesus paid for it with his shed blood on the cross. So when I sin, and I will, I don't have a black spot appear on my ledger. It doesn't appear on the ledger at all. When I sin, and of course I will from time to time, I need to know that he has already forgiven me. And I simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And I look at the ledger and it's still clean. Now, this leads people to think, if you teach this, Pastor Steve, you're going to teach people that they can go over here and sin and then come back to the ledger and say, well, it's okay because my ledger is clean. Listen to me. Shall we continue in sin so that the ledger can stay clean? God forbid. But when I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. So that when I sin and I come back to the ledger, I can look and see it's what he did for me on that cross. And if you think you can look at the ledger and go over here and live like the devil because the ledger's clean, you got it backwards. And that's where we come into verses like the Bible says, whom he loves, he chastens. And if you're chastened by the Lord, it's because he loves you. And so, yeah, if you think that you can just sin based on the fact that your ledger is clean, that you can go over here and live like the devil because your ledger's clean doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. Doesn't mean he takes your book and just rips it up and throws it out. But there's a Bible scripture. We're not studying it today. But there is a chastisement that comes from the Lord for those who will willfully disobey based on the fact that they know their ledger's clean. Is any of this making sense to you? Okay, so when I look at that ledger and I realize that that ledger is clean because of what he did for me, this is why I continue to go to that ledger, spiritually speaking. This is why I continually think about Jesus and what he did for me on that cross. I'm not gonna, as my focus remains on that cross, I'm not gonna wanna go back to the pig pen of sin. And when I do occasionally slip up and sin, I come to him, not only am I forgiven because of my righteousness, I stand in the righteousness of Christ. This is not a thing to be, you know, like a peacock and, you know, King Kong pound your chest about, but what he did for you and your righteousness in him is a biblical fact. It's okay to stand on that biblical fact. And again, that doesn't lead to sin. The Bible's very clear in Romans. It's the goodness of God, that clean ledger, that leads men to repentance. So when you see how good God is, you're not going to want to go back to the pig pen. There are, of course, exceptions. There are people that think that they can live like the devil over here because they've been forgiven. And that's where those verses, like whom he loves, he chastens. The Bible's very clear who he loves. He disciplines from time to time, like any father or any mother will discipline. So it's the condemnation oftentimes that keeps us away. I do something wrong, and now I feel condemned about it, not realizing, not owning, not taking upon myself the cleansing that that ledger represents, what Jesus represents in my life, and not understanding that he forgave me for every, his cross was a finished work. It's not my confession that makes me right with God. The confession just means we're agreeing with each other. How can two walk along unless they're in agreement? Well, how do you walk along with the Lord unless you're in agreement with him? Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Key point here, before I move on, you ask him to help you not repeat the behavior. And I don't care what the behavior is, whether it's your thought life or things that you say or things that you do, whatever it is, we all have different sins in our life. But when I ask him to remove it and I'm willing to allow him, we sang it today, didn't we? More of him in my life, less of me. And so I surrender more of myself to him by confessing my sins and continuing to walk with him. But it's not, please understand, it's not I'm out of fellowship because of this thing that I did, this sin that I did, and I remain out of fellowship. That's where the condemnation comes until I get it right with the Lord. It doesn't work that way. You are the righteousness of Christ. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that sometimes because in the back of their mind, they're thinking, that's just going to give people license to sin. Don't worry about those people. I don't know who those people are, but that's what there's going to be people. Well, who are you one of those? Well, no, not me. I would never say. Well, then don't worry about it. You worry about you. You worry about your relationship with the Lord. Let them worry about them. You're the righteousness of God. This is what brings joy to my life every day, realizing that I didn't do anything to make that slate clean except thank him. And I'm going to continue to thank him, and I'm going to continue to be grateful for what he did in my life. And as I look at that slate and I look at that ledger and I see just how clean it remains because of the finished work, what he did for me on the cross, man, I start walking in glory and I start walking in that abundant life. And the joy just starts to spring up in my life. This is the abundant life that Jesus promised every one of us, available to every believer. 1 week or 100, I almost pointed at Ida when I said 100 years, but now 1 week or 100 years, no matter how long you've been a Christian, it's that joy that continually is renewed every morning as you continue to simply thank him for that clean ledger. I go to him, you want to look at that ledger, you look at it, it's clean because of what Jesus did. You need to own that, because without owning that, you are going to condemn yourselves. Mothers, you know, look, Moms are probably, this is, you know, you raise your kids and whatever, you don't do something right, or this one's mad at you, or that one. You girl, you ladies know all about this whole condemnation thing. It is not of the Lord. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, and in the Greek it literally means, are becoming new each day. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. You are holy and without blame. Sarah should have John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, Jesus said, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, the Father, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You accept Christ, you're not in, there's no more condemnation for you. But passes from death onto life. And then we talked about it last week in John 3. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, not keeping the commandments, he kept them for you. What a great deal. Not keeping the law, he kept it for you. What a great deal. That through him, the world, we might be saved. 18th verse, John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, last week we talked about Romans. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his son God did by sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law is good. This is why so many people are swallowing this Hebraic, Hebrew roots movement thing that's going on, saying you must, because the law is good. That the righteous requirement of the law, what they fail to teach their folks is the righteous requirement, it's a requirement of the law, was kept by Christ for you. That's the part that they leave out. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so we talked a lot about that last week. I want to wrap up this whole thing about this condemnation, because it's condemnation that will keep us from proper fellowship. If I fall into sin, one of the first things our friends and relatives will do is not come to church. They'll stay away because they feel guilty. They realize that they're in sin, and they're not owning their righteousness in Christ. Now, can they continue in sin so that the grace in their life may abound? God forbid. Paul answered that question, and he answered it succinctly. The question's been answered. But when I look to the cross, and I look to what Jesus did for me, and I ask him to relieve me of this preponderance that I have. Last week we talked about cookie thieves. This preponderance I have to tell lies. This preponderance I have to always be one up on my stories. Somebody tells a story, I gotta have a better story. Somebody tells a joke, I gotta have a funnier joke. Whatever it is in our lives that makes us wanna do these stupid things in our flesh that we all do, I don't need to beat myself up and condemn myself. What I need to do is go back to that blank ledger. I need to go back to the cross and realize, thank you, Jesus. I realize you. I don't know why I feel like I got to be the smartest person in the room. I don't know why I feel like I always got to be one up on everybody that I come in contact. I don't know. Whatever it is that goes on in your life. I don't know. But we all have these various things. So when our heart, and the Bible's very clear, I'm going to have Sarah put it up here in just a second, but when our heart condemns us, What does the Bible say? When our heart condemns us, 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, throw it up there if you would, please. For in our heart, or when our heart condemns us, what? God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Can I rephrase that without offending anybody? When our heart condemns us, God is more real in your life than your feelings. That's what it's saying. You feel condemned, so you don't come to church. You feel condemned, so you don't go to God. You don't come to God because you did something wrong. Now you're right back in the garden. Adam, where are you? Well, I was naked and I was afraid. Who told you you were naked? We do the same thing. Where you been? Haven't been to church. Well, in your mind you're saying, well, I robbed the bank and I just didn't feel like coming to church or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Look, our hearts condemn us. I get that. But that's not Bible. The Bible is that your sins have been paid for in full. And the more you learn to walk in that, that's not pride. That's my dependence on what Jesus did for me day in and day out. That's me wanting to thank him for what he did for me every hour of every day. And as I walk in his truth, as I walk in these Bible truths that I am the righteousness of Christ and the slate is wiped clean because of what he did, I'm not going to want to go back to the pig pen. And even if I do take a little pig food from now on, it's so much better than it used to be. And this is the ongoing process of sanctification. Put it up there one more time, if you would. John 3:17. Let's read it again. What did I say? 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. God is greater than your feelings. God is greater than what you think about the situation. He's a very good God, and he wants nothing but good for you. Put it back up there, please. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than your heart. He's greater than what you feel or what you think your knowledge of the situation is. I'm telling you, the Bible says you're the righteousness of Christ. Learn to walk in that and knows all things. Does that mean we can continue in sin? No. John 8, Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? She says, none, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So am I teaching you that you can sin and then condemn? No. Once again, I want to wrap this up because I think you get it. You're all smart people. I hope those of you watching at home or listening on the radio get that as well, but you are the righteousness of God, and you can walk in that righteousness, not out of some kind, like you're a proud peacock and you can do anything you want. That's not what the Bible says, but you walk in God's righteousness because it's Bible. He tells us we are clean. He tells us that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And I feel led to just repeat this one more time. Your confession does not make you righteous. You don't remain unrighteous until you confess that you robbed that bank. You don't remain unrighteous until you confess you stole that lady's cookies. Your righteousness is based solely, only, and nothing more and nothing less needs to be added to the cross of Jesus Christ. Your righteousness is found in him. They are mutually exclusive. Just because you don't feel righteous doesn't mean you are not. You most certainly are. But as you learn to walk in the goodness of God, and as you learn to walk in the righteousness that he provides for you, you'll find that joy of living and that joy of living the Christian life and those rivers of living water just coming up out of you every day. It's available to every believer. A couple more verses and we'll wrap this up. I don't know if Sarah has Hebrews or not. Let me read you this. This is good. Hebrews 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify God afresh and put him to shame. You don't get saved all over again every time you commit a sin. You don't get saved all over again. He paid it. It was a done deal. Your slate is wiped clean. The debt that you owed was paid in full. When you pay off a note to the bank or to one of your relatives, when it's paid 5 years later, you don't go to them and say, hey, do you want some more money, even though I already paid you back? No, it's been paid for. Jesus paid for your sins. They're done. Bask in that. Live in that righteousness. Live in that forgiveness on a daily basis. I promise you, those of you skeptics that are either watching me or listening on the radio, nobody here, but I promise you, walking in the righteousness that he provides will not lead you into a life of sin. You have got to be plumb out of your mind to want to continue in sin, and perhaps not even saved, to want to be able to continue in sin based on the fact that you are the righteousness of God. It's like oil and water. They just don't go together. But you as a believer, you walk in the righteousness of God, you understand and thank him for making that slate clean on a daily basis, and you walk in that righteousness, I'm telling you, there is now no condemnation, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are called according to his purposes. For the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, you got to be in there to experience it, has freed you from the law of sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bible. If you're watching me here today and you've never, ever had your slate wiped clean and had Jesus forgive you of your sins, it's time that you do it. I don't care if you're listening by radio or watching on the YouTube. I'm going to pray a short prayer right now, and those of you that are watching, I'm going to ask you to pray right now with me. If you're listening on the radio, wherever you are, God hears you. These folks here are going to pray a prayer that every one of us has prayed. The words aren't that important, but you need to have your debt paid. You need to have your slate wiped clean that you can be the newness. Everybody needs a second chance in life, third and fourth chance for some of us. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer right now with me. They're going to pray it with me as well. And if you'll mean it in your heart, you'll be a new person. Say, dear God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I promise to thank you and continue to thank you all the days of my life. And right now, by faith, I believe I'm washed. I believe I'm cleansed. I believe I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you're watching me by the video or listening by radio right now and you prayed that prayer, you have become a new person. Thank the Lord Jesus for what he did for you every day, and he will continue to bless you. Find a Bible-believing church somewhere where you can learn more of the Word of God. Angels in heaven just rejoiced over the fact that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. God bless you. We love you. And in the name of Jesus, bless us and keep us, Lord. Bring us back on Thursday for more Bible study. More, and put a hunger and for more of you in our life, Lord. More of you in our life, Lord, and less of us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church in Green Valley. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired to walk closer to Jesus Christ. We invite you and your family to visit us in person each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Community and Performance and Arts Center at 1250 West Continental Road in Green Valley. Just take I-19 to Continental Road, exit 63, and go west and follow the signs to Southern Arizona Community Church. For a Google map, visit our website at soazcc.org. For those unable to attend in person on Sundays, we invite you to listen to this program and also to visit our website at soazcc.org for a link to the live YouTube broadcast of our Sunday service. Our website again is soazcc.org. That's soazcc.org. Join us again next Sunday morning at this same time for another encouraging and inspiring message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin.